KSL at Night was recorded and produced this afternoon. KSL at Night. Some of Utah's top political specialists join a roundtable on the day's biggest stories. KSL is at 102.7 FM and on every smart speaker when you say play KSL News Radio.
Welcome to KSL at Night. I'm your co-host, Rusty Cannon, president of the Utah Taxpayers Association. Tonight, for the first time for me, I am here with the one and only Leah Murray. It is so good to be here with you, and here we go.
Yeah, so yeah. Just in case you didn't know, Rusty, I'm a professor up at Weber State University.
And so
I'm one of those
your position
people.
Up there, you...
Yeah, I'm the director of the Walker Institute of Politics and Public Service, and also teaching students all the things about politics. So a little bit, it's like... I always say at KSL, I'm their resident political science professor.
Right? There
so
you go.
What
you
I
go.
Do all day for my living is talk about politics.
Well, this is a good segue because college campus protests have been going on against the Israeli occupation of Gaza, as we know, and Palestine, and has now made its way to Utah. We saw yesterday protests and encampments began popping up at the University of Utah campus right up the hill here. And overnight, the situation escalated as police tried to disperse the crowds using riot gear.
You abuse painted red, over 40,000 dead.
Back up, please back up, you guys. Please, kindly back up.
All right, so things have calmed down a little bit as we know now, and we're recording this. But some of the nuts and bolts of what's been going up there is so, Leah, about 19 people arrested, I think, is the latest number we're seeing.
Yeah, so 19 people arrested. And it's interesting, across the country, 1,200 people have been arrested.
Wow.
So just to give you the scope of what that looks like nationally. And you asked me off the air, Rusty, how many of them were students? And I'm like, I don't know, they're just humans.
Yeah.
But we know at the University of Utah, 4 students. A university employee, which leaves 14 people unaffiliated with the school who were arrested. And I also should note that a police officer was injured in this effort to get the encampments taken down.
So how does this differ from what's going on around the rest of the country, right? That's something we should discuss. We all have feelings about this. It'd be no surprise. I'm quite frustrated with the whole process. I think there's an underlying issue that rarely gets talked about, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But so what do you think the contrast is here, what happened at the U of U last night versus elsewhere around the country?
Well, I think what's interesting is I was not expecting it in Utah. So, Rusty, I will tell you where we see protests, places like Columbia University, places like USC, right? Places like Harvard, Columbia being the flashpoint right now, right? Columbia is the one we're talking about a lot. That these are Ivy League schools, you know, very wealthy kids going there. Mm-hmm. They are there to go to school. And a little bit, I'm going to tell you what, they have a lot of time on their hands.
Apparently they do.
Right. You know, as someone who attended Syracuse University, a lot of my life as a college student was, you know, hanging out, right? Because you really only go to class like 15 hours a week. I feel like in the state of Utah, a lot more of our students work. Does that make sense?
Oh,
a lot of our kids are working, pulling like 15, 20 hour weeks. I think a lot of our students commute. Does that make sense to campus? So I was a little surprised when you asked like what the difference is. I was surprised Utah had one, right? Because I really wasn't expecting it. It's not... not as elite. Does that make sense? As a Columbia University, where Columbia prides itself on its students doing activism. Like when you go to look there as a freshman, they're like, you could protest while you're here. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like that's usually a message from Utah schools. So I think a little bit the Utah schools maybe were not flat-footed, that's the wrong way, but maybe it was unexpected. Mm-hmm. And so maybe the response looks a little different than we see other places.
But the response seems to be handled well. I mean, the issue with some of these other schools, and in my personal beef with Columbia, for example, completely lost control. Like they have completely ceded control. Now a building is occupied, apparently. The situation doesn't seem to get any better. And you see some of the more egregious examples, I think, of offensive behavior or improper behavior in these protests at a place like that, where at least it seems from what we can tell, the U of U acted decisively and at least for now seems to be calm.
So far.
So far.
Right.
Yes.
So let's be thinking about this and let's kind of put this into context, what's happening at the U. A University of Utah group, we have a soundbite talking about what was going on. Let's listen right to them.
It's 1 a.m. We have a bunch of people out here supporting. So the movement is still strong. We're not deterred. We're going to come back, and we're going to come back even stronger.
So you say it's calmed down, and I don't think that you're wrong, but I don't think they are going away. No. I was listening on the way down today to KSL and listening to them interview some of the people having conversations with protesters who have been arrested. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I feel like you're not wrong. The University of Utah behaves decisively. I think this encampment went up a bit more publicly. So to be fair to Columbia, it went up overnight, right? Yeah. And so that president walked into the campus the next morning and was like, oh my goodness, there's an encampment here. A little bit, this was more done in the open, right? And so the president maybe could handle it better. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, yeah, go ahead.
How many students, okay, well, obviously 14 of them weren't even students, so the 19. But so as we all know from our college days and sort of the attitude of like, well, what am I going to, well, where's the party? You know, and go off and, oh, there's a protest. Oh, what are we talking about? Okay, I'm in, right? Versus how many of them, this is really the core issue, what they're talking. There's so many things that if they were intellectually honest about it, they should be protesting about, and they're not. And also it's important to remember why we're here. Like history gets forgotten so fast. October 7th wasn't that long ago. That started all of this. We can't forget what happened. You know, over 1,000 murdered. You know, it was a horrible event. And then we're now here where it seems like the argument sometimes gets twisted. And I just wonder, to be honest, how many of them truly know all the facts of the issue, or they're there because, hey, where are you going? This sounds fun.
Yeah, no, I love how you just said that. My dad went to college in 1971, which was right after the Kent State protests, which resulted in 4 students being killed. And while he was a student there, they occupied the administration building of his university. And I kind of called him this week and I'm like, how do you feel about this? Right? You know, to what extent is this protest, does it feel similar to yours? And a little bit, one of the things he said, you just said, he's like, we occupied the administration building. And then we all went, this is like the most boring place on the campus. Why did we do this? And what are we doing here? Because sometimes you as a young person, right, Rusty, it is about where's the party, right? And then solidarity and the people are there. But also you kind of get swept up in the mood. Do you know what I mean? So you're like, I am here to protest. And for my dad, it was the Vietnam War, right? I am here to protest. And then you're kind of like, but actually, what are we doing here? So at Columbia University, they took over Hamilton Hall last night, overnight. And I bet a lot of those students must be thinking, all right, now what do we do with it? Like, we are in here. What is the point?
Yeah, you start talking about, okay, food, logistics, we're here. Then is property damaged? I mean, that's where things can really go downhill, right? Where you get away from the original point of things. And then it's not so much about the subject. It's now about your actions. Okay, well, we need to get noticed. Okay, well, let's break this. Let's do this or whatever. That's the worry that it continues to escalate. And that's the problem that at least I've personally had with those at Columbia or some other universities. They have completely lost control. And until they take that control back, it could get worse.
Yeah, and I think I want to just say, in the same way that I maybe have responded to other protests, right? Mm-hmm. At the point that you are breaking someone's property or breaking into a building or destroying anything or making it the case that other people can't do their jobs.
Yeah.
Because remember, when you take over the administration building, the staffers whose job it is to file, like, I don't know, FAFSA,
yeah,
right? Like, they're
right.
Not going
to
be able to get
pay
in.
For your school.
Right.
Yeah.
All of that becomes really tricky and hard to navigate.
Yeah, it's a complicated issue, and I think there'll be much more news on that. So next on KSL at Night, even though he won the GOP gubernatorial nomination at convention, Phil Lyman faces an uphill battle to become Utah's next governor. Now he's facing some issues with his lieutenant governor pick, and we're going to talk about that next and dig into it. So stay with us on KSL at Night.